listening to IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped. Welcome to the reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for Monday, September 21st. I'm Jalen from Drake University. Here's our first story. Heartland Family Service postpones 2020 salute to families to 2021. Heartland Family Service has postponed its annual Salute to Families recognition event from November 19 until November 18, 2021 because of the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Salute to Families program highlights strong families and individuals who place a high priority on building and strengthening their bonds while encouraging individual growth, according to a press release from the organization. The families selected in 2020 will be honored at the November 18, 2021 Salute to Families Dinner. The honorees are Leadership Family is Jamie and Jeff Huber, Community Service Family is Charlene and Chris Rogers, Challenged and Successful Family, Lori Thompson Pifo, Commitment to Family, Hannah and Gerald Weibel, Family Advocate, Joni and Dr. Mark Adler. The Salute to Families Recognition Program began in 1982 when HAFS recognized one family in the community. Honorees are nominated by their friends, neighbors, or colleagues. This year's chair of the Salute to Families Committee was Melissa Steffies, and Kristen Steinke was the selections chair. Council Bluffs officer shoots at vehicle. Authorities search for driver. A Council Bluffs police officer suffered minor injuries on Friday after firing a shot at a vehicle that was driving towards the officer. The incident occurred in the parking lot of the Manawa Center Walmart about 7:40 p.m., according to the Pottawatomie County dispatcher. The officer was scratched up, but otherwise uninjured, the dispatcher said. Officials found the vehicle abandoned near the Interstate 29 and Interstate 80 interchange. Omaha police were assisting in the search for the suspect Friday night. Ernst annual motorcycle ride will benefit derecho recovery. Senator Joni Ernst will replace her traditional roast and ride with motorcycle rides over 2 days in October to benefit charities, including Cedar Rapids Derecho Recovery. Joni's ride across Iowa will feature 6 stops, Sioux City, Carroll, and Des Moines on October 10th, and Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, and Davenport on October 11th. Last year, more than 250 bikers rode with Ernst from Des Moines to her annual fundraiser near Boone, where more than 1,000 supporters were registered for the barbecue dinner and politics. Ernst, a combat veteran who was elected to state and county office before winning a seat in the U.S. Senate in 2014, is seeking re-election. She is being challenged by Democrat Teresa Greenfield. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, Ernst is forgoing the traditional pack ride of 5 previous roast and rides in favor of rides modeled off poker runs, where riders depart and arrive at their own pace. Like her roast and ride events, the 2020 ride will be a fundraiser. Proceeds will go to Puppy Jake Foundation, an Iowa-based nonprofit that provides veterans with professionally trained service dogs, and to the Greater Cedar Rapids Community Foundation's Derecho Disaster Recovery that provides direct relief to the victims of the Hurricane Force August 10th storm. At each stop, there will be a short program that will include remarks from the foundation, Ernst, and other Republicans. Tickets will be $10 for riders. Riders must show a valid motorcycle license and sign a waiver. Same-day registration is permitted. Non-rider attendees are encouraged to make a free will donation. To purchase tickets, visit roastandride.com. The schedule is Day 1, Sioux City, Roosters, Harley-Davidson, 8:30 a.m. Carroll, Harley-Davidson of Carroll at noon. Des Moines, Big Barn, Harley-Davidson, 3 p.m. Day 2 is Des Moines, Big Barn, Harley-Davidson at 9 a.m. Cedar Rapids, Metro, Can-Am, 1 p.m. Davenport, Scott County Victory Office at 3:35 p.m. All times are approximate. Most local schools have a few COVID-19 cases. Heartland Christian has none reported. Lewis Central Community School District has its first active cases of COVID-19 since school started on August 25th. The school district has 8 positive cases among students and a few among staff members, according to Superintendent Eric Nost. It's important to note that the contact tracing does not suggest that any of these positive cases originated in our schools, he said. As of today, we have no evidence of COVID-19 spread within our schools. We believe our face coverings mandate, our quarantines of potential exposures, and our mitigation efforts are making a significant difference in keeping our numbers down. Council Bluffs Community School District has 8 active cases of COVID-19 among students and few among staff members, Diane Ostrowski, Chief Communications Officer, said Friday. Less than 1% of the student and staff populations are currently infected with the illness. There are a few cases among staff members at Iowa School for the Deaf, according to Superintendent Steve Gettle. Heartland Christian School still has not had a case since starting school on August 20, according to Larry Gray, Executive Director. I can only say thanks to the Lord for protecting us and to our parents, staff, and students who have been very cooperative with all of our new protocols, he said. This week's update is less specific because of new guidelines on sharing information on COVID-19 cases for schools and local public health agencies released by the Iowa Department of Public Health. The guidelines state that schools with 5 or fewer cases should not provide a specific count, but can confirm there are cases within the school population. The nonpareil asked the Iowa Department of Public Health for a clarification on the guidelines, and spokeswoman Amy McCoy said that she could not speak on how the guidelines apply to schools and referred the nonpareil to the Iowa Department of Education. A Department of Education spokeswoman could not be reached Friday afternoon. Pottawatomie County's 14-day rolling average positivity rate was 10.6% Friday afternoon, according to coronavirus.iowa.gov. The state has said a positivity rate of 15% or higher would be among the benchmarks it uses when considering a request to move to online-only education. Mills County's 14-day rate was at 7.8%. At 3 p.m. Thursday, the county had 1,938 positive COVID-19 cases out of 19,853 tests, an increase of 44 positive cases off a 24-hour period, according to the state COVID-19 website. There have been 1,581 recoveries in the county. The state listed 37 deaths. Pottawatomie County Public Health said Friday it is still working to verify the 37th death. The Iowa Department of Public Health has not responded to a request for clarification. In Iowa, there were 78,523 cases out of 727,664 tests as of Friday afternoon, an increase of 1,319 cases over 24 hours, according to the state website. The site listed 1,260 deaths, an increase of 10. There have been 56,528 recoveries, according to the coronavirus.iowa.gov. Survey. Economy sees improvement in rural parts of 10 states. Omaha. The economy in rural parts of 10 plains and western states is seeing some improvements, but remains weak, according to a new monthly survey of bankers in the region. The Rural Main Street Survey's overall index remained negative at 46.9 in September, even though it improved from August's 44.7 and marked several straight months of continued improvement since March, when the index bottomed out for the year at 35.5, as the coronavirus pandemic emerged. Any score below 50 suggests a shrinking economy, while a score above 50 suggests a growing economy. More bankers showed optimism about the economy's outlook over the next 6 months, with the survey's confidence index raising from 50 from August's 44.6. Recent improvements in agriculture commodity prices, federal stimuli, and the Federal Reserve record low interest rates have underpinned the rural Main Street economy, said Creighton University economist Ernie Goss, who oversees the survey. Bank CEOs estimated that farm income, including government support, was down only 1.5% from this time last year. but fewer than 1 in 4 bankers report that their local economies were back to levels before the outbreak. Bankers from Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming were surveyed. Farmland prices declined to 45 in September from August's 50, while the Farm Equipment Sales Index slipped from 32.1 to 32.8 in August. Riverside set to induct Class of 2020 to the Riverside Hall of Fame. Riverside Community School District will honor 2020 honorees and into its Hall of Fame on Thursday and Friday. The Class of 2020 induction ceremony will be held at 2:30 p.m. Thursday in the Riverside Middle High School gym at 18997 Highway 59 in Oakland, according to a press release from the school district. The 2020 inductees will also be featured in the Riverside Homecoming Parade at 2 p.m. Friday in Carson. The final recognition will take place prior to Riverside's homecoming football game at 6:45 p.m. Friday at the Charles E. Pignery Athletic Complex. Riverside instituted a Hall of Fame to honor graduates, employees, teams, individuals, and friends of the district for their accomplishments at or to the service of the district in fall 2018 in celebration of 25 years as a school district. The class of 2018 included Marianne Coons, Clark Christensen, William Rich Livengood, Dr. Trevor Richardson, Dr. Corey Vorthman, 1996 Riverside Wrestling Team, 2001 Riverside Football Team, John McCowan, and Carmela Pignieri. The class of 2019 included Nicole Allen Osborne, Donald Hotz Fall, John W. Hamilton, Marilyn Mickey, and the 1973 to 1974 Carson Macedonia Football Team. The selection committee announced the following members of the class of 2020. Richard Harris, employee, Oakland Riverside, 1950 to 2005, and distinguished graduate of Oakland class of 1942. Harris attended Wentworth Military Academy from 1943 to 1944 and played football. He served in the U.S. military during World War II, 1944 to 1945. After his military service, he attended the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, where he played football, majored in physical education and coaching, and graduated in 1950. In January 1951, he assumed teaching, coaching, and athletic director duties for Oakland. He had several highly successful teams and won numerous coaching awards during his tenure. He served the Oakland and Riverside schools for 55 consecutive years, from 1950 to 2005. Donald E. Cash, distinguished graduate, Macedonia class of 1952. Cash was born and grew up in Macedonia. After high school, he left to join the Army in 1954. He enrolled in the University of Iowa in 1956 and received 3 degrees, Bachelor of Arts, Master of Arts, and PhD. He has served on the faculties of 6 major national universities. From 1978 to 1981, he headed the division of the U.S. Geological Survey that regulated an annual $25 billion of energy and mineral activities on federal and Native American lands. Since retiring in 2005, he spent some time on local farming activities in the Riverside area. The Don Cash Family Trust has been recognized by several conservation groups. Brett Keast, distinguished graduate, Carson Macedonia class of 1984. Keast grew up on the family farm east of Macedonia. He is the son of Ed and Dora Lou Keast. He attended Iowa State University from 1984 to 1989, graduating with a Bachelor of Science degree in Community and Regional Planning and Speech Communication, and a specialty in architecture. He then received a Master's of Urban Planning degree from the University of Kansas in 1995. Brett developed a park master plan for the city of Carson, the zoning ordinance for the city of Oakland, and has provided park planning and grant consultation to the city of Macedonia and Pottawatomie County Historical and Preservation Society. Merle Larson, employee, Oakland Riverside, 1985 to 2008. Larson served as the Oakland band director from 1985 to 1993. He then was the Riverside band director from 1993 to 2008. He directed the 5th through 12th grade bands, provided private lessons, and directed the marching band, pep band, and jazz band. His musicians and bands acquired numerous number one ratings in all categories at local, regional, and state competitions. Viva Larson, employee, Carson Macedonia Riverside, 1982 through 2010. Viva served as the Carson Macedonia High School home economics teacher and FHA Hero FCCLA advisor from 1982 to 1993. She then continued in that position at Riverside until her retirement in 2010. She has been an active member of the community and contributed her talents in many ways. Her dedication to the church, pride in the education community, and music has been apparent through her entire life. She still volunteers time teaching CPR to Riverside students. O.E. Lester, coach of the 1949 Oakland girls basketball team. The 1949 Oakland Yellow Jackets girls basketball team was the first ever Oakland girls team to qualify for and play in the state tournament. The team finished in second place in the 1949 Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union State Basketball Championship, played at the Drake Fieldhouse. They beat Keswick 41-36 in the semifinal and went on to be defeated by Wellsburg 56-40 in the championship game. The 1949 IGHSAU tournament summary video is featured on YouTube, where fans can watch the Oakland girls compete in the semifinal and championship games. Forecast: sunny skies, highs in the low 80s, first few days of the week. Expect mostly sunny skies and temps in the low 80s today after a crisp, refreshing morning in the 60s. The high today is 81, according to the National Weather Service, with wind speeds in the low double digits. Tonight's low is 58. It's much of the same Tuesday and Wednesday, with highs in the low 80s and lows in the upper 50s, with higher wind speeds on Wednesday. Here's the upcoming Weather Service forecast. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 81, south wind 10 to 13 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 58, south-southeast wind 5 to 9 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 82, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 58, south wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82, south wind 5 to 11 miles per hour with gusts as high as 21 miles per hour. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 59. Thursday, sunny with a high near 84. Thursday night, clear with a low around 61. Friday, sunny with a high near 88. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 62. Saturday, a chance of shower and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 77. Saturday night, a slight chance of showers, partly cloudy, with a low around 53. Sunday, sunny with a high near 73. Council Bluffs firefighters pulled two children from burning building. Council Bluffs firefighters helped two children escape a burning house Friday night. The Council Bluffs Fire Department was dispatched to the house fire at 315 Lawton Terrace at 7:28 p.m. Friday night. Two children and one adult were in the house when the blaze started. Fire Chief Justin James said, "The children were trapped inside the house while the adult was outside." According to a GoFundMe fundraiser post by a family member of the fire victims, a young child remains in critical condition at an Omaha hospital with burns covering 60% of his body. James said Saturday he was as yet unable to confirm those details. James said firefighters arrived on the scene about 8 or 9 minutes after the call. "Law enforcement got there right before us," James said. "They had already gathered information and gave us an idea of where they thought the children were located. Firefighters climbed the engine ladder up to the second story of the west side of the house to look for the children. They broke into a room through a window where they thought the children were located. Other firefighters pulled the hose line immediately after arriving and got the fire knocked out really quick," James said. The fundraiser post said the other child has been released from the hospital. The family member asked for support for medical expenses, clothes, and money to help them get a new place. The house was older and had been split into two apartments, James said. The occupants of the first floor apartment were outside when the fire began. The cause of the fire is under investigation. virtual open house to offer information on applying to service academies. Students interested in a career in the military may want to click into a U.S. Service Academy virtual open house Monday and or Tuesday evening. The online event, hosted by U.S. Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, will run from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday and Tuesday and will be accessible via Zoom. There will be an opportunity for Iowa students and their families to learn more about the 5 military service academies, including the application and nomination processes, a press release from Grassley's office stated. Academy nomination coordinators for Grassley and Ernst will provide an overview of the congressional nomination process and application requirements. They will be available to answer questions throughout the open house. Representatives and recently commissioned Academy graduates from the Air Force Academy and the Military Academy at West Point will provide presentations on Academy life and the application process on Monday. The Naval Academy, the Coast Guard Academy, and the Merchant Marine Academy will provide presentations on Tuesday. Representatives from all of the academies will be available on both nights to answer questions from Iowans in a live question and answer session. It's important for students considering applying to a military academy to be well-informed, said Jackie Bodstenke, the counselor at Lewis Central High School. Earning an appointment to any one of our military academies is a huge honor, she said. Our U.S. senators and representatives are looking to nominate Iowa's best and brightest because academy graduates go on to serve as military officers. As officers, they will be making important decisions about the safety of our country and their troops. Because an appointment to military academy covers 100% of the tuition, room and board, and medical and dental costs, it is worth well over $100,000, Bodstenke says. Of course, in return, each graduate must serve for that branch of the military for several years. For that reason, it is important that a student's life goals match those of the academy and vice versa. Those interested can connect via Zoom at https://usafa-admissions.zoom.us/j/964049580072. Every year, Grassley and Ernst each select 10 individuals to nominate to the Military, Air Force, Naval, and Merchant Marine Academies. For more information on Grassley's nomination application, go to grassley.senate.gov/students/academy-nominations. To seek a nomination from Grassley, applicants must download and complete an application at grassley.senate.gov/sites/default/files/2020%2020Academy% application. For Iowans seeking to attend an academy in 2021, the deadline to complete and submit Grassley's and Ernst's application is October 16, 2020. Pizza and Wings. Big Kells offers food and favorites in family-friendly environment. It took a little longer than expected, but Brian Cadwallader will tell you, it's better late than never in regards to opening his newest Bluffs eatery, Big Kell's Pizza and Wings. The plan was to get the restaurant off the ground this summer in conjunction with the College World Series in downtown Omaha. However, the COVID-19 pandemic threw a wrench into that plan. It's been quite the process with getting this place open, said Cadwallader, who oversees the operation with his wife Jamie. We signed the lease 5 days before the state of Iowa shut down all the bars and restaurants because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The business officially opened doors September 1st. We were a little behind schedule, but we are finishing everything up now. The signs got put up yesterday. We are still finishing up some interior decor items, but 95% of the restaurant is finished and ready for our guests. Big Kell's, 40 Arena Way, suite number 11, offers a variety of fare, including wings and pizza options, burgers, pasta, sandwiches, and salads. Cadwallader said his mission was to open an eatery that exudes family friendliness. What we have are really two specific environments within one restaurant, he said of Big Kell's layout. The main dining area, Cadwallader said, features a large-scale game room intended to entertain children patronizing Big Kells. There's also a bar area sporting several 70-inch TVs where sports lovers can have a cold drink while watching their favorite teams compete. The bar, I think, has 5 TVs and the dining room has 4, he said. So we have enough TVs to show all of the sporting events. The namesake of the restaurant is Cadwallader's father, Kelly, who lives in Palm Springs, California. More accurately, the name Big Kells pays homage to the man's favorite adult drink. When he has a cocktail, he calls it a Big Kell, Cadwallader said. It's really just Bacardi and Coke. He kind of became known through that, and the name just kind of fit. He's a big personality. We haven't gotten him out yet, but we are going to get him out probably in the middle of October for a grand opening. On October 3rd, Big Kells is partnering with neighboring full-fledged brewing company to host a night of fun for community members. It will feature live music in Big Kells Courtyard area in conjunction with a poker run for a man who suffered injuries as a result of a motorcycle accident. The event is just a taste of the vibe Cadwallader hopes the area will develop over time. We want to make this area over here, with full-fledged brewery being our neighbor, into an entertainment-style district for Council Bluffs, he said, while offering praise to the Iowa West Foundation, the organization that funded the entire Big Kells project. We are the anchor restaurant for the new area, and we are looking to add other restaurants, bars, and anything entertainment-related into this complex here. So far, Cadwallader said business has been steady. For restaurant hours, people are encouraged to visit Big Kells' Facebook page or call 712-796-4238. Although it's been a little more stressful than his previous restaurant undertakings, Cadwallader said the end result makes everything worth it. This is our 4th restaurant that we've opened since 2017, and each one is different, and none of them ever go exactly how you plan, he said. But this one, certainly, by far, was the most challenging. And to get to the point where we actually got opened up almost on budget and almost on time through everything we had to go through is a huge testament to the crew that we've put together at Big Kells. I'm very proud of what we have built here, and we plan on being here for a long, long time. I want to watch my little girl grow up in this restaurant. You're listening to the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for Monday, September 21st on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Handicapped in Des Moines. I'm Jalen from Drake University. IRIS volunteers love to hear from listeners. If you have any comments or questions about this or any IRIS program, please call toll-free from anywhere in Iowa at 877-404-4747. Our review, Bell's Play Garden, a welcome addition to Council Bluffs. Youngsters throughout the metro will soon have another option for getting outside and having some fun, thanks to a pair of local families. Bell's Play Garden will sit on a 2,000-square-foot area at Tom Hannafin's River's Edge Park on the Council Bluffs riverfront, with interactive play elements and vibrant colors in patterns that represent the Missouri River and unique topography of the Bluffs, according to the Iowa West Foundation, a funder of the project. We think we can accomplish something special, Heather Tomasek told the Council Bluffs City Council during its Monday study session. We agree. Tomasek and husband Rick Knudsen have teamed with Dusty and Marlena Davidson to spearhead the project, contributing $200,000 towards the project. The Back to the River organization will contribute $100,000, with Iowa West matching those funds with $300,000. It's a win for Council Bluffs. This project is part of the Go Play initiative, co-founded by the Knudsen, Tomasek, and Davidson families, which aims to increase outdoor play opportunities in the metro area. The Davidsons were born and raised in Council Bluffs, and Heather Tomasek formerly worked for the City of Council Bluffs Parks Department, managing the landscape architecture for Phase 2 of River's Edge Park. The park is near and dear to me, Tomasek told the council Monday. Tomasek said that she researched playgrounds across the country, including taking a trip to Cincinnati, where she worked with a company to design the area with an eye towards making sure the play garden matches the existing aesthetics of River's Edge Park. We believe the addition of a new play space is very appropriate, she said of the addition to the park, which will be near the pavilion. For the play pieces, we wanted something iconic and memorable, Tomasek said. The area will have cattails and a 15-foot-tall pelican with a slide, among many features of the design. This Go Play initiative was founded with the hopes of returning the idea of play back to the park and the neighborhoods in the former Playland Park area. Tomasek said in a release, "Both our families have young daughters that love to spend time outside at various parks around the metro, so this is named in honor of them. We believe it will reintroduce a new play space that enhances one's sense of discovery and adds to the growing momentum at the riverfront." The playground is named after the family's daughters, Ella, Elbel Knudsen, and Annabelle Davidson. Tomasek told the Nonpareil, "The next step in moving the project forward is getting approval from the Army Corps of Engineers, which is required because of its proximity to the Missouri River levee. This could take 9 to 12 months. The project, which does not require council approval because no city funds are being used, is not to exceed $600,000, Tomasek said. The city council was unanimous in showing its appreciation of the project. "This is an absolute ton of work and so thoughtful," Councilman Chad Hannon said. "It's a really cool project." Councilman Roger Sandow added, "A cool project indeed. Kudos to the Knudsen, Tomasek, and Davidson family. Back to the river and Iowa West for coming together to give a gift to the Council Bluffs that will enjoy it for years to come." Obituary for Douglas Batten. Douglas Joe Batten, 68, of Glenwood, Iowa, passed away on September 16, 2020. Celebration of Life will be held on Saturday, September 26, from 10 a.m. through the afternoon at Doug's home at 912 North Walnut Street in Glenwood. Interment at a later date, the family will direct memorials. Obituary for Connie Winkler. Connie K. Winkler, age 76, born on May 29, 1944, and passed away on September 16, 2020. Preceded in death by her husband, Glenn Winkler, parents Fred and Margaret Crane, and brother Charlie Crane. Survived by son Michael Jacobs of Omaha, brothers Fred Crane of Omaha and Stephen Crane of Council Bluffs, and Susan Ellis of Tucson, Arizona. Connie grew up in Council Bluffs in Silver City, Iowa. She was a graduate of Thomas Jefferson High School in Council Bluffs in 1962. She worked at Northwestern Bell from 1964 to 1994, and was a member of the local Communication Workers of America. She then worked in the Reservation Center in Little Rock, Arkansas for Southwest Airlines until her retirement in 2004. Connie loved gardening and was an avid music fan of early rock and roll and country. She was also a fan of classic Hollywood films. She particularly loved comedies and mysteries. She kept everyone in her family and circles of friends laughing. She will be sadly missed by everyone that knew her. Memorials may be sent to Alzheimer's Association at www.alz.org. Obituary for Rita Valinch. Rita A. Valinch, age 88, of Council Bluffs, passed away peacefully on September 18, 2020 at the Josie Harper Hospice House in Omaha after a courageous battle with cancer. Rita was born on January 1, 1932 in Omaha, Nebraska, to the late Joseph and Anna Zadina Kankovsky. She graduated from Omaha South High School in 1950. Rita married Steve Valinch on April 26, 1951 in Omaha. They were blessed with three daughters, Anne, Jeannie, and Kathy. Rita worked for Prairie Medical Clinic for 10 years. She was a longtime member of Holy Family Catholic Church, where she was a member of the Altar and Rosary Society and the Funeral Choir. Rita was also a volunteer and member of the Mercy Guild. She was an avid quilter at her church and at Harmony Court. Rita and her husband are current members of St. Patrick Catholic Church. In addition to her parents, Rita was preceded in death by her sister, Anne York. Rita is survived by her husband of 69 years, Steve Valinch, daughters Anne, Chris Elcombe, all of Council Bluffs, Jeannie, Jim Moline of Omaha, and Kathy Pat Ramsey of Papillion, Nebraska. Brothers Frank Kankowski and Joe Kankowski, both of Omaha, nieces and nephews. Open viewing on Tuesday from 3 to 5:30 p.m. at Cutler O'Neill, Meyer, Woodring, Bayless Park Chapel. Private family funeral mass Wednesday at St. Patrick Catholic Church. Interment in St. Joseph Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to St. Patrick Catholic Church and to the Josie Harper Hospice House. Due to the COVID-19, the family strongly urges the use of masks and distancing. The obituary for Dolores Baker. Dolores M. Baker, age 90, passed away peacefully on September 18, 2020. She was born on August 3, 1930, in Thurston, Nebraska, preceded in death by her husband, Gail Baker, parents, Cecil and Mabel Gilbert, son-in-law, Gerald Whaley, and brothers and sisters, survived by daughters Shirley Whaley, Gail Shamblin, Kathy Goolsby, and Marcy Kozoil, sons Galen and Dwayne, 14 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild, two brothers and two sisters. Private family and services will be held. The obituary for Forrest Gump author Winston Groom, dead at 77. Fairhope, Alabama. Winston Groom, the writer whose novel Forrest Gump was made into a 6-Oscar-winning 1994 movie that became a soaring pop cultural phenomenon, has died at age 77. Mayor Karen Wilson of Fairhope, Alabama, said in a message on social media that Groom had died in that South Alabama town. A local funeral home also confirmed the death and said arrangements were pending. While he was remembered for creating Forrest Gump, Winston Groom was a talented journalist and noted author of American history. Our hearts and prayers are extended to his family, Alabama Gov. Kay Ivey said in a statement. Forrest Gump was the improbable tale of a slow-witted but mathematically gifted man who was a participant or witness to key points of 20th century history. From Alabama segregationist Governor George Wallace's stand at the schoolhouse door meeting to meetings with presidents. It was the best-known book by Groom, who grew up in Mobile, Alabama, and graduated from the University of Alabama in 1965, according to a biography posted by the university. Groom served in the Army's 4th Infantry Division from 1965 to 1969, the university said. His service included a tour in Vietnam, one of the settings for Forrest Gump. He wrote 16 books, fiction and nonfiction. 1. Conversations with the Enemy, about an American prisoner of war in Vietnam accused of collaboration, was a Pulitzer Prize finalist, according to the university. It was Forrest Gump and the success of the 1994 movie starring Tom Hanks in the iconic role of Gump, as well as Sally Field and Gary Sinise, that earned him widespread fame and some financial success. The novel is considerably different from the film. Don Noble, University of Alabama professor emeritus of English and 40-year-old friend of Groom's, told the Tuscaloosa News that the novel was darker and richer than the movie. "You can make a lot of money as a comic writer, but you can't get no respect," Noble said. "But Forrest Gump is really actually quite a fine novel. It's more subtle and more complicated, richer than the movie." The movie, which also starred Robin Wright and Michael T. Williamson, had become deeply embedded in the American psyche and has remained an enduring television staple and huge cultural phenomenon since. "It touched a nerve," Groom told the Tuscaloosa News in 2014. The film dominated the 1995 Academy Award, winning 6 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Director for Robert Zemeckis, and Best Actor for Hanks. It was 1994's number 2 grossing film at the box office, second only to The Lion King. The basic outlines of Gump's lifestyle are the same as they are in the book. Gump plays football under Paul Bear Bryant at the University of Alabama, serves in Vietnam, and starts a major shrimp business. But the film made major departures. Gump was not a math savant as he was in the book, and was a more saintly soul. The film took away Gump's size. Groom said he envisioned John Goodman playing him, along with his profanity and most of his sex life. "They took some of the rough edges off," Groom told the New York Times in 1994. Groom also wrote nonfiction on diverse subjects, including the Civil War, World War I, and Alabama Crimson Tide football. In 2005, Groom released 1942, The Year That Tried Men's Souls, which chronicled the first year of U.S. involvement in World War II. In 2009, he released Vicksburg 1863, an account of the Union siege that brought a novelist touch to historical figures like Ulysses S. Grant, William T. Sherman, and Jefferson Davis, President of the Confederacy. His most recent novel, El Paso, was published in 2016. Groom got $350,000 for the rights to Forrest Gump, plus 3% of the net profit of the movie. But he got into a serious dispute with Paramount Pictures when they told him the film, that had earned over $600 $1 million was in the red after expenses. But years later, he wasn't bitter. They did an excellent job, he told the Tuscaloosa News. I would have probably preferred my vision of it, but that thing never would have opened. The book became a major bestseller in the wake of the film, and Groom got a much better deal for the follow-up novel, 1995's Gump & Co. I'm happy as a pig in sunshine, he told the Mobile Register. Nonetheless, sequel-addicted Hollywood somehow never made the new movie. The obituary for Janet May Cox. Janet May Cox, July 23, 1940 to August 23, 2020. Memorial service. The family invites you to a celebration of her life and to join us for lunch on Saturday, September 26, from 2020, from 11:15 to 1 p.m. at the Walnut Hill Cemetery Reception Center, located at 1350 East Pierce in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Today in sports history, baseball says farewell to Yankee Stadium in 2008. 12 years ago today, baseball said farewell to Yankee Stadium. In 1955, Rocky Marciano knocks out Archie Moore to retain heavyweight title. 1985, Michael Spinks wins a 15-round unanimous decision over Larry Holmes. 1986, Ken O'Brien leads Jets to a 51-45 win in an offensive shootout against the Dolphins. 1986, Ken O'Brien's 43-yard touchdown pass to Wesley Walker at 2:32:35 in overtime ends one of the highest-scoring games in NFL history as the New York Jets defeat the Miami Dolphins 51-45. O'Brien passes for 479 yards and 4 touchdowns, all to Walker. Miami's Dan Marino passes for 448 yards and 3 touchdowns as both quarterbacks set a record with 884 combined yards passing. 1997, Buffalo Bills rally from 26-0 deficit to beat Indianapolis Colts. The Buffalo Bills staged the third biggest comeback in NFL history, overcoming a 26-0 deficit to beat the Indianapolis Colts 37-35. The Bills made the greatest comeback in the 1992 AFC playoffs, wiping out a 35-3 deficit to beat the Houston Oilers 41-38 in overtime. 2008, the U.S. takes back Ryder Cup with victory over Europe. The United States takes back the Ryder Cup with a 16.5-11.5 victory over Europe. It's the largest margin of victory for the Americans since 1981. 2008, baseball says farewell to Yankee Stadium. 2008, Miami Dolphins snap New England Patriots 21-game winning streak. Miami wins for just the second time in 22 games, ending New England's NFL record 21 straight regular season wins with a 38-13 win over the Patriots. Ronnie Brown scores a Miami record 4 rushing touchdowns and passes another. The 25-point loss is New England's biggest in 7 seasons at Gillette Stadium. 2014, Tom Brady earns a career win number 150. Tom Brady passes for 234 yards and a touchdown in the Patriots' 16-9 win over Oakland. The win is Brady's 150th career victory as a starting quarterback, joining Brett Favre, 186, and Peyton Manning, 169, as the only quarterbacks to accomplish this feat. 2018, Oliver Fisher shoots first round of 59 in 46-year history of the European Tour. English golfer Oliver Fisher shoots the first round of 59 in the 46-year history of the European Tour. Fisher makes an eagle and 10 birdies on a par 71 course in the second round of the Portugal Masters held in Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Club in Vilamoura. Prep football roundup. Underwood Glenwood improved to 2-0. Neola. Underwood forced 7 turnovers, including 6 interceptions, and got a huge night from Alex Ravlin en route to a 41-8 victory. Defensively, Ravlin had 3 interceptions, the final return for a 47-yard touchdown. He also guided the Eagles' offense at quarterback, as Underwood has now outscored its opponents 80-8. On Friday, Underwood hosts MVAOCOU, and Tri-Center is at Sydney. Underwood 2-0. Tri-Center 1-1, Glenwood 37, Trainer 0. Glenwood outgained Trainer 322 yards to 187 and a 37-0 shutout win over Trainer on Friday. Rams quarterback Brock Sell completed 13 of 30 passes for 143 yards and 2 touchdowns. It carried It's 14 times for 53 yards and 2 touchdowns, made 4 extra point kicks, and a 20-yard field goal. Defensively, Rams forced 5 turnovers and have allowed a combined 7 points through 2 games. Undefeated Glenwood goes on the road for the first time on Friday at Harlan, while Trainer travels to play East Sac County. Titans prevail over CB in All Bluffs duel. Lewis Central prevailed on Thursday in an intra-city swimming duel against Council Bluffs at Kern Middle School. The Titans earned a 101-67 triumph over CB, earning wins in 9 of 11 events. LC sophomore Kylie Brown was victorious in the 200 freestyle, 400 freestyle, and teamed with senior Anna Hsu, freshman Izzy McDermott, and freshman Sydney Collins to win the 400 freestyle relay. Senior Warren Gave, freshman Mia Hansen, and Collins also won multiple events. The whole lineup was different tonight from last week to this event, LC coach Bruce Schomburg said. 2/3 of our team are freshmen and sophomores, and pretty much everyone swam a different event. We tried to mix it around a bit. Our freshman and sophomore classes are pretty good, and I wanted to give them an opportunity to swim different things to see down the road how they can help us more. Council Bluffs won 2 relays on the night. Lillian Lefebvre, Jocelyn Miller, and Elena Vrotecky and Claire Srilly won the 200 medley relay, and Srilly, Jay Miller, Aurora Miller, and Vrotecky won the 200 freestyle relay. Both of those relay results, and I know it's early in the year, but we would be qualifying for state at this point, CB coach Logan Maxwell said. If the state cutoff was today, we would be in the bracket of teams that would be making it. That was a huge takeaway for us. September 20 scoreboard. Prep football, Thursday, September 17. Abraham Lincoln, 44. Sioux City West, 7. Friday, September 18. Ankeny, 68. Thomas Jefferson, 0. Lewis Central, 35. At Carroll, 14. St. Albert, 31. Southwest Valley, 7. Glenwood, 21. To Creston, 14. AHSTW, 48. To Sydney, 22. Riverside, 27. To Tri-Center, 22. Underwood, 42. To Trainer, 0. Oakland Craig, 38. Logan Magnolia, 0. Harlan, 35. To Denison Shellswig, 0. Thursday, September 24th. Thomas Jefferson at Sioux City East at 7 p.m. Friday, September 25th. Sioux City North at Abraham Lincoln, 7 p.m. Lewis Central at Glenwood, 7 p.m. St. Albert at AHSTW, 7 p.m. Sydney at Riverside, 7 p.m. Missouri Valley at Trainer, 7 p.m. Southwest Valley at Tri-Center, 7 p.m. East Sac County at Underwood, 7 p.m. Woodbury Central at Logan Magnolia, 7 p.m. Harlan at Carroll, 7 p.m. Prep Cross Country, Tuesday, September 22nd. AHSTW Logan Magnolia at Tri-Center Invite, 4:30 p.m. Harlan, Lewis Central, Thomas Jefferson at Creston, 4 p.m. Thursday, September 24. Riverside, Underwood at Audubon, 4:30 p.m. Trainer at MVAOCOU, 4:30 p.m. Saturday, September 26. Lewis Central, St. Albert, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Glenwood, AHSTW, Trainer at the Harlan Invite at 9:30 a.m. Prep Golf. Thursday, September 24. Mighty Mo Invite at Fox Run, 9:30 a.m. Bishop Heelan, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Lamar, Sergeant Bluff Luton, Sioux City East, Sioux City North, Sioux City West, and Lewis Central. Prep Swimming. Tuesday, September 22nd, Atlantic at Lewis Central, 4:30 p.m. Prep Volleyball. Saturday, September 19th, Fort Dodge Tournament, Lewis Central. LC defeats Fort Dodge 3-0 with scores of 25-21. Match 2, 25-16, and Match 3, 25-15. Ridgeview defeats LC 3-1, 25-20 for the first match, 25-18 for the second match. Match 3, 14-24, and 25-21 for the last match. West Harrison Tournament, AHSTW. AHSTW defeats Whiting 2-1. Missouri Valley defeats AHSTW 2-0. TJ defeats AHSTW 2-1. AHSTW defeats West Harrison 2-0. AHSTW defeats Woodbine 2-0. Thomas Jefferson, TJ defeats Woodbine 2-0. West Harrison defeats TJ 2-1. TJ defeats AHSTW 2-1. And TJ defeats Whiting 2-0. Missouri Valley defeats TJ 2-0. Red Oak Tournament, Abraham Lincoln. AL defeats Sydney 2-0. Glenwood defeats AL 2-1. Trainer defeats AL 2-1. AL defeats Clarinda 2-1. Glenwood. Glenwood defeats Clarinda 2-0. Glenwood defeats Sydney 2-0. Glenwood defeats AL 2-1. Glenwood defeats Trainer 2-0. And that brings us to the end of today's reading of the Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil for Monday, September 21st. The Nonpareil can be heard each weekday at 3 p.m. Iris volunteers love to hear from listeners. If you have any comments or questions about today's broadcast or any Iris program, please call toll-free from anywhere in Iowa at 877-404-4747. I'm Jalen from Drake University in Des Moines. Thank you for listening.
In the People's Pharmacy Health Headlines. With half a dozen measles outbreaks currently underway in the U.S., as well as several serious international outbreaks, the news on measles vaccine from Denmark is important. Researchers conducted a nationwide study that included everyone born between 1999 and 2010. With more than 650,000 children in that group, they had more than 5 million person-years of follow-up. The Danish health system keeps excellent records on all of its citizens, including the children. Consequently, the scientists are confident that the 6,517 children diagnosed with autism during the study period are all the children who developed this condition. Children who did not receive the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, or MMR, were equally likely as vaccinated children to develop autism. The investigators conclude, the study strongly supports that MMR vaccination does not increase the risk for autism, does not trigger autism in susceptible children, and is not associated with clustering of autism cases after vaccination.
The Food and Drug Administration has just approved a completely new type of antidepressant. The nasal spray, called esketamine, is expected to help people who have not responded to standard antidepressants. It will be marketed under the brand name Spravato. This drug is chemically related to the injectable anesthetic ketamine that's been on the market since 1970 and is available generically. Although esketamine is administered as a nasal spray, people will not be permitted to purchase it for home use. They will need to use Spravato under medical supervision at a clinic or doctor's office. Some experts have challenged the FDA's approval process for esketamine, While two clinical trials demonstrated some benefit, two others did not show that esketamine is better than placebo. Side effects of this novel antidepressant include nausea, dizziness, headache, and a feeling of dissociation.
FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb unexpectedly announced his departure from the agency this week. Experts were puzzled by his announcement since he has received high marks from the administration, industry, and even some consumer groups. Dr. Gottlieb has raised questions about teen vaping and has been an outspoken critic of pharmacy chains that sell tobacco products to minors. Some commentators speculate that these stances might be related to his abrupt departure. His explanation for the sudden departure is that he wants to spend more time with his wife and young children. Dr. Gottlieb is a survivor of Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Another week, another drug recall. Many lots of ARB blood pressure drugs, including losartan, valsartan, and irbesartan, have been recalled over the past 8 months. These medicines were contaminated with potential carcinogens known as NDMA and NDEA. Now, Hetero Labs has recalled 87 lots, and Tarrant Pharmaceuticals Limited is recalling 100 lots of losartan tablets. These pills contain an entirely new contaminant just identified as NMBA. It, too, is a suspected carcinogen. All three of these nitrosamine contaminants are apparently created as a result of the manufacturing process. FDA Commissioner Gottlieb stated, "We're making important strides at understanding how these impurities form, and we're continuing to examine if nitrosamine impurities may also arise during the manufacture of other ARB drug products. The FDA is committed to implementing measures to prevent the formation of these impurities during drug manufacturing processes in the future."
Cocoa flavonoids may have some benefit for people with multiple sclerosis, according to a small study. Previous research showed that dark chocolate rich in cocoa compounds might improve symptoms of chronic fatigue. The investigators recruited 40 people with relapsing remitting MS to drink cocoa every day for 6 weeks. 19 of them got high flavonoid cocoa, while 21 drank low flavonoid cocoa. At the end of the study, those on the high flavonoid cocoa had slightly less fatigue and could walk somewhat farther in 6 minutes than they had at the outset. They also reported less pain. And that's the health news from the People's Pharmacy this week.